Father, again, we just take a moment. Lord God, I sense your presence. I understand, Lord God, that you want to work within our lives. And Lord God, as we go to your word, we invite you to minister to our hearts and our lives. We invite you to apply the word of God to our lives, and that you would accomplish all that you want to accomplish. As we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, Lord God, we desire that. We ask for a fresh filling. We ask for your anointing. We ask you for direction on how we can be a part of the kingdom of God building around this church, how we can fellowship together and be a part of other people's lives in our quest and journey, that one day, just like Billy Graham said, one day you will hear, I have died, but I will be more alive than ever before. That is encouraging, Lord God. Help us. Strengthen us, deliver us. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, we're going to be looking at verses 17 to 26. And as you're doing that, I want you to think a moment about something here. I want you to think a moment what a perfect world would look like to you. I'd ask you to close your eyes, but I'm afraid some of you might fall asleep because I hear how exhausted everyone is. So I'm asking you to think what a perfect world would look like. And as you're thinking about what your perfect world would look like, I ask this question: would there be violence? Would there be racism? Would there be injustice? Would there be conflict? Or in your thoughts of a perfect world, would all of these things be taken care of? And then I'm asking, according to, again, what you're thinking of in your perfect world, that you would realize there are many different views of what a perfect world would look like. Say amen to that. Numerous of us thinking about what our perfect world would look like. We're all being asked the same question, but that picture doesn't look the same for each of us. A perfect world would be perceived in a different way. My thought is this: someone greater than ourselves has to show us what a perfect world would look like, right? Because we in ourselves, we just went all different directions of what our perfect world would look like. So we need someone that is greater than us to define what that perfect world should look like. And it can't be by our definition because there's so many views. And I say to you this morning, we sang all these wonderful God majestic songs that God Almighty, the creator of the universe and the creator of each one of us, determines and wants perfection in our life. He alone determines what our lives were created for. He determines what we are to accomplish in our lives. He determines how we should fit into that world. See, in his perfect world, we were created to worship. In his perfect world, we were created to love each other. In his perfect world, we were created to have this meaningful relationship with him. And through it all, he says, I will be your strength. I will be your encouragement. I will be everything that you need. But then sin got in the way. In that perfect world, sin got in the way because we decided one day that we didn't need God or want God or didn't want to fit into his world. But in spite of that, God loved us. In spite of that, God decided to love us and provide for us and bring redemption and all of the things that we talk about of the cross and all the things that Jesus did through the cross and helping us day by day, if we'll let him, with the strength of his Spirit working and making himself available in our lives, if we just would call upon his name. And see, we have a choice. We have a choice. It's not demanded. No one will stand before God and God said, I made you do this. We're not robots. We weren't created to be robots. And if you look, allow me to look at Galatians here, you'll see that the life that God desires for us is a good life. That it wasn't a life to just be, here's the rules, follow them or else. But a life that was determined that we would live the way God wanted us to, but also in this abundant life that God wants us to have. Galatians 5:1 says this, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. And if you really look at the context of this verse, the Apostle Paul writes these under the anointing of God to the church. Because the thing is, this church, the church at Galatia, this church was thinking that living right was whether they were circumcised or not. And the Apostle Paul tells them it is more than cutting foreskin off a male. It is more than that. It is more than that about living. It is more than that about how the Holy Spirit wants to get into your life and desiring God to do more in your life. And it's more than pleasing yourself or pleasing the people just around you. That he has a life in his spirit. A life that is abundant. A life that is more than we can live ourselves. And then he goes on. Galatians 5:13-26, he talks about life in the Spirit. He says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilling and keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, adultery and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. You know, the last couple of weeks we've talked about who's your neighbor, and everybody kind of snickered, but it really was, how far do I extend my reach to those around me? And we talked about compassion, and we talked about compassion that's not only exemplified to showing people what the love of Christ is, but showing them the love that we have for each other and what the community of believers would look like if we loved like Christ loved, if we did these things. In verse 14, we see, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping the one command, love your neighbor as yourself. And I stop and I think about all the things that we go through in the course of our week, meetings and different things, and I think of a board meeting, and you can disagree, but we should never be attacking one another. The person that is there talking is not the enemy. The enemy would be whatever keeps us from common ground. In our business meetings, we can see that we can disagree with someone, but it should be determined that in that meeting that you should be able to come to an agreement instead of making a bridge so wide that no one can cross, or even worse, creating a bridge and burning it where we can't go backwards. Say amen to that. That these meetings that we get as we come together should be ones of trying to come together. Every avenue of our life should be about loving others as much as we love ourselves. And you heard me a couple weeks ago say some people really love themselves. And they have a problem with that. And Christ is telling us that we need to love each other as much as we love ourselves. And reaching common ground. And let's be a realist. Sometimes we can't reach common ground. Amen? But we should love each other. We should love them as a human. We should love them in the sense that even though we're different and we have different ground, we should still love them as a human being. And at some point, sometimes we have to leave that to God, don't we? We need wisdom to know when that is. God, I've done everything I know to do, but now it's in your hands. Leaving the rest to God and allowing God to use mercy and grace. Verse 15 says, if you bite and devour each other, watch out or you'll destroy each other. I've learned a long time ago, backing a dog into a corner is not good for anyone. Both will be hurt. Both will get bit. We destroy each other. And instead of coming to a solution that could bring us together. So in a perfect world, determined by God, we would love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and body, and we would love each other. In this world, the sinful world, where I won't say most, but I will say a lot of people have abandoned God or felt that He is unreachable, God calls His people to make a difference. God calls us to use our talents, use our ability, use our resources, but more than that, He tells us that through us He will do these things in His power, in His ability to do these things. So in a perfect world, it would be God loves us, we love God, we love others, but in this world where people have abandoned God, God is calling some to be the light. Come some to take out the darkness, to walk in the Spirit. Verse 16 says this, so I say, the Apostle Paul, again under the anointing, he's saying, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. I lost some of you there. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. He is talking to the church. He's saying, brothers and sisters, here in his greeting, he's talking to the church. And he's saying to be truly free in Christ is to allow Christ to empower us and direct us. And it will be reflected back to those that we come in contact with. Amen? So here's two questions that I ask you this morning and would hope that you get out of this passage of Scripture. It's, why would I want to walk in the Spirit of God? And the second part of that question would be, what would it look like if I walked in the Spirit of God? But I think to do that, I think we have to first identify what is meant by the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I want you to notice here, it's not the fruits of the Spirit. It's very important to understand that. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. It is the fruit of the Spirit that has 9 characteristics to it. It's one Spirit, the Spirit of God, that directs us and gives us 7 avenues or characteristics. And let's face it, some of them we're pretty good at. Some of them we can do in ourselves. But if we're going to allow God to do it, He wants to do the best. He wants these characteristics in our lives. Matthew 12:33 says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. God's Holy Spirit works in harmony with God the Father and God the Son to provide us everything that we need. The book of Ephesians tells us, be imitators of God. As well-loved children imitate their father, you must live in love as Christ loved you and gave himself to God as a sacrifice and an offering, a sacrifice which was the odor of a sweet savor to God. The Holy Spirit of God will change us. Amen to that? The Holy Spirit of God will change us, desires to change us, needs to change us, will transform us, will identify us with Christ, and will always bring us back to pleasing God. We will never be perfect in ourselves. Amen? Look to the person next to you and say, you're not perfect. And then look right back and say, neither are you. We're not perfect. We'll never be perfect, but God desires to work in our lives. So why would we want to walk in the Spirit? Well, Jesus warns us in Matthew that it's going to be hard and that we can't do it in ourselves. Paul tells us that in our flesh, our own desires, that it's contrary to God, and walking in with God is really just basically saying everything that you one inside that you know is against God, you're saying you're not going to do it or choosing not to do it. And then the other side of that is why is because God commands it. As Christ followers, he says we don't do what pleases ourselves, but we do what pleases the Lord. Because there is evil, and there's only one good thing that can come out of our lives is what we accomplish in Christ. The measurement of how good we are has to be in what Christ has done in our spirit and in our authority. And when you look at this passage, it talks about evil. It says fornication, impurity, adultery, witchcraft, enmity against each other, jealousy, uncontrolled temper, self-seeking, dissension, injustice. It just goes on and on and on and on. You read that so much, you just go, all of a sudden, you just realize, I cannot be good without God. Amen? I can't be good without God. The person that says that I'm a good person. I'm a good person. You know what they're doing? They're basing that upon another sinner. They're saying, I'm not as bad as that sinner. But the problem is God's word says the wages of sin is death. So we could be better than someone else, but we're still a sinner. And God saves sinners. And God's wanting to work with sinners. And to say that I'm a good person, you're comparing it to the wrong measure. Because when we compare it to the right measure, none of us are perfect. And none of us are good in the eyes of God, because all of us are sinners. And Christ says the wages of sin is death. But Christ came to save sinners. Amen. And cares about what's going on. And I love the person that comes with this. And you know, I only get mad when people tick me off. I only get mad when I have to. But you know, if you really dig into this portion of scripture when it talks about uncontrolled tempers, it's talking about a burst of anger. It's not saying that you run around like a madman all the time. It's saying that inside of you is a burst of anger that comes out and goes away. And it has to be dealt with. Say amen or say oh me, one of the two. You know that he's saying that it's not one thing that lasts forever, but the things that flare up. And then goes into dissension and all these other things, and envy and alcohol and sexual impurities. That's a whole nother sermon. But I can end it by saying that we need to be good in Christ, because without Christ, we're exposing ourselves and we can see that we're not good. And when you look at the good there, when it's love, joy, peace, forbearance, and all of the fruit of the Spirit that's active there, we see that we can't do it without God. But if we're really going to do it, we want God's best. Because that's the only way that we can compare to the fruit that we'll bear that is kingdom-minded. In ourselves, we won't have the anointing of God. And in ourselves, we will fall short. I love this. It's that we human beings tend to overlook the simple truths of life and forget that the profound is usually revealed in the simple. And here's what I mean by that. We're good fakers sometimes. We can pretend to be someone we're not until that person irritates us. Until we're in a circumstance that brings back where God wants to work in our lives. See, an apple can only be an apple. At our core, I mean, pun intended, we can only be what we are. As long as anger goes unchecked, as long as fear and jealousy, depression, low self-esteem, and all these things are in fact, they're unhealed in our souls, we'll continue to produce the fruit that falls short far of what God wants for us. Many of us miss the abundant life that Christ has because we don't take an honest look at where we're at. Preacher Christine Kane says this, going to church or praying a prayer doesn't automatically result in the fruit of the Spirit being produced in our lives. Rather, the condition of our souls strongly influence the fruit that comes out of our lives. Quite simply, if there are areas of our souls that has been damaged in some way, we'll inevitably produce bad fruit in those areas. And keep in mind, what I mean by bad fruit doesn't necessarily point to a horrific past or abuse. It simply means that there are certain areas of our soul that are still not Christ-like. God desires to minister to us. God desires to work in our lives. God desires to do some great and mighty things. And the second part of that question, and I'll speed to the end here. What would it look like if we walked in the Spirit? We would see God doing amazing things. I love the person that says, I came to Christ. No, you didn't come to Christ. Christ came to you first. And the change that is happening from the sin nature that we were born with and the born-again experience is that we're allowing God to do a new thing in our lives. So to walk in the Spirit would be to allow God to do these new things in our lives. We would allow Jesus into your life and to begin to make these changes. We walk in the Spirit because we have allowed Him to. We've asked Him to do a check. We've allowed Him to put the spotlight on our lives. When we walk in the Spirit, we're not allowing the human drives to get in front of what God wants. Verse 17 says, the flesh produces one kind of desires and the Spirit of God produces another. Which one are we going to allow to work in our lives? Romans 7:18, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Apart from the gracious influence of the Holy Spirit, none of your inclinations or desires is holy or good. Ezekiel goes on to say in chapter 36, a new heart I will give you and a new spirit I will put within you. I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. See, the problem in Christian living is not so much learning what you should do, but doing the things you know you should do. The problem is not discovering what love looks like, but loving the way that we're supposed to. In closing, there's a few steps to walking in the Spirit. First of all, acknowledge you can't do it yourself. If you're taking notes, these are just the closing notes. Acknowledge you can't do it in yourself. You're good, but you're not that good. Allowing God to do some amazing things and praying. Second thing is praying and allowing God to put His Spirit within you. It says as a believer that the Spirit of God dwells within you. What I find is that the Spirit of God is there, but we're running on empty. We're running on empty because we're not coming back to the provider of our strength, to the provider of what we need. So pray and allow God's Spirit to dwell within us, giving Him permission to fill us to overflowing. Third thing is trust Him to do what He says He's going to do. See, there's some mysteries in the Bible. Do you understand what I'm saying here? And here's one of them that I think until we get to heaven we won't totally understand. How someone could be instantly healed or how someone could be instantly addiction taken away and someone else struggles, that to me is a mystery. But God tells us that we should trust Him and walk through these things. And the last thing is at some point you got to act. Like I said this morning during prayer time, that you know, when God speaks to you, see, He didn't knock me to the floor and say, get on your knees and pray. He just strongly suggested it. And I strongly wanted to obey. Because I understand by strongly disobeying has consequences. And in a loving way, He would bring me back. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, this morning, the world chatters louder than sometimes we hear your words. The world wants to direct our lives more than we sometimes will allow you to. And this morning, may you speak to each one of us in your own miraculous way, Lord God, about how we can walk in the Spirit, how we can be obedient, how we can accomplish all that you want to accomplish, how we can use our talents and our resources for the kingdom of God, for the glory of God, how we can be as a body of believers in unity to reach this community. I lift up our board, our newly appointed board. I pray an anointing of God upon them as we seek to do your will in this community. Lord God, give us everything that we need to be able to do that. May every talent that's on that board be used for your honor and glory. May we use every resource and spending time in prayer to make sure that we are in your will and doing your way. I pray for all of the families that are struggling right now, Lord God. I pray that they would allow you to fill them to overflowing so that we might see the extraordinary come out of their lives. Their testimonies might be that of glorifying God through these struggles and how much you will use them after the fact. We give you honor and we give you praise. We thank you, Lord God. Do amazing things in each one of us. And we'll give you honor and we'll give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.